And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight we have our second show for Holding the Heart Space with Mary McNabb, which I really enjoy this show because the last one, I actually took something from it and have been using it, and I found it very empowering. So I'm looking forward to this next show, and this one is going to be about what it takes to hold balance from our heart. And I think in the interesting times that we have been going through and the energies being so intense and dramatic, I think that we really need to find this way. So welcome, Mary.
Thank you, Lori. It's nice to be here again.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So where do we start?
Well, I would say that for all of us, let's just start, and we promise not to do this in your ears, but with taking just a huge deep breath, because when I ask people, I've actually stopped asking people how they are. You know, we have this polite thing we do in the English language where we say, hello, how are you? And unless it's someone with whom I'm very familiar and they can actually answer me honestly, that's almost becoming a difficult question to ask people.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, just taking that deep breath and sort of starting from there is a good place for tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of times we forget, we know, and we forget just how important it is to breathe.
Yes. Exactly. So then also just taking a moment to find that place within ourselves, that heart space, whatever that is for you, the heart space that we talked about last time, and we'll do that a bit again tonight, was something that was literally downloaded to me as a gift from the Divine Mother. But just finding that heart space, for a lot of people, I've been told that they don't know what that is. They don't know how that feels to them. So I would also just say, find the place within you that feels still. Find the home of stillness in the midst of all the stuff, all the bills on the desk, all the doings that are on the list. And just find the stillness. We know they'll be there when we get back. We wish they weren't sometimes. But, you know, take a moment for yourself, for you, the self within. And just find that inner stillness. And then take a few moments and drop the doing and let the stillness breathe you. Mm-hmm. And just let the mind, if it starts to go, oh, what's that mean? How do I do that? What's the, you know, the mind goes into overdrive. Just tell it, shh, hush, hush now. Just for a minute. Because there actually is a core of stillness within each of us, within every sentient being, the earth being one of them. And even with all her turbulence and upheavals, and we're not even at the middle yet, there's stillness there. She has within her the heart space as a sentient being, as we are. So just finding that for a minute. And I hope that defined what is meant by the stillness. It's not, stillness is not a place of no action. It's not a vacuum. It's not a stuck place. It's not static. Stillness is where the energy is so refined that the movement cannot be perceived because there is no friction. So some days it's, can you find the place of least friction? And just allow as much of you as possible to rest there just for a few moments. This is the beginning of what I suppose I would call, or the Divine Mother would call, balance. It's operating from that place. And the doings come from that place as well.
Right. Because the information that we get from this place is where the doings come from.
Yes, exactly. The inspirations, what are sometimes called inspired actions, or the information, that's really the best word, that comes from stillness, that comes from the heart, needs to be. I don't even want to use the should word. I think it should be abolished. I think just needs to be where the actions come from. And this doesn't mean not taking responsibility. It means holding the ability to respond in a very different way, allowing stillness to respond through us, allowing the divinity that is our sacred earth to move through us, allowing our soul's energies to move through us. This truly is the essence of balance. And so, yes, absolutely, moving from that information. And for my last 2-3 years, actually, I've been experiencing a sort of boot camp in that respect, where we all know, when we know that we know that we know, that the only thing that works is coming from that place. And yet, you know, Lori, as you said, we forget, or we get busy, or we get into the doings in whatever way we were taught to do the doings. And this other stuff, it's not that it isn't there, it's just that it's whispering in our ears, it's flowing through our heart, and we're saying, yeah, I'll get to you as soon as all this other stuff gets done. And really, when spirit in many, many, many forms says to us, you have your priorities backwards, nothing could be more true. The process that I've been through has put me in the place where it's choosing. A lot of it is a choice to live such that the only doings that I do, and we're not talking about the market and the phone bill, those kind of show up, you know, but are the things that come from this still place. And that does work. That is what works. And it's very different. It's speaking, living, walking the truth, the language of being, which is still very much a foreign tongue in the Western world. There are those that speak it. There are many, actually. But it's still not daily communication for most of the world, especially the Western world. But that really is, it's the place that I've been placed into, where the things that will work come from that place. Anything else is really, truly a waste of essence. And it's sort of drastic and radical and a very different way to live, and requires relaxing back into it, really just resting in that stillness in every moment, in traffic, which I actually avoid mostly at the moment, but in traffic and in a very crowded market and in a place where maybe the energies aren't comfortable. And truthfully, for 80% of the earth right now, the energies aren't comfortable. She's shifting. She's going through her evolutionary process, and we can sort of come along or not. And this is such a good thing. This is such an exciting thing. Yay, Mom, you know? But yeah, a lot of it isn't comfortable. So it's coming from this still place and being able to navigate from this place of restfulness, of peace, of depth, of what I would call harmony. You know, me with my music background, but I would call it harmony of moving with not just accepting what is. That tends to sound like punishment. I don't think any of us have ever really understood what was meant like that. But moving with it from that still place. One of the images that I was given by the Divine Feminine was of a beach ball bouncing along on a very turbulent ocean. It doesn't know how big the waves are. It's just having a happy time bouncing and just being in that beach ball and kind of going, woo, yippee, you know, let's bounce up and down. Not from a fake, false, dishonest place of, oh, I'm going to pretend to be all happy and cheerful and perky. Now, we know that's not going to work. It hasn't worked for a while now.
Yeah.
But also from that place where the other image that was given to me actually simultaneous with that one was that of the sea lion, sea lions and dolphins, and how they handle the surf. You know, they tend to swim just outside of where the surf begins to crest and break. And when you see them there and watch them, sometimes they body surf, they ride with the wave, because it feels good, and it, you know, the current is going in a way that feels good to them, which may or may not be where they wanted to go that moment. Or sometimes they duck under and just simply let it go by, let it go over their heads. And just observing that was such an incredible teaching for this time. And I had asked, I knew it was specific to this time, for a way to just be. So holding that heart space, allowing it to hold you really in a safe container, and just be with the turbulence instead of riding it for a while and then getting very, very tired, which is happening to a lot of people, and it happens to me. I mean, if you're one of them, you're just going with what's going on right now. So as that exhaustion starts to happen, it's looking inside ourselves and saying, oh, how am I fighting or resisting or even trying to swim with it instead of it just carrying me? And then we say, well, but wait a minute, it's carrying me over here to the left, and I really wanted to go way over there to the right. It's looking at that and going, okay, how is my agenda not in alignment with the evolutionary cycle that's going on right now? And if it's not, that's not good or bad, it's just problematic. It's just not energy efficient. It's, in other words, in very plain English, it's not going to work. Because what's happening right now is happening. And for my heart, that's cause for celebration, even on the days where it's very difficult. So.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a really interesting point, which is about acceptance. Because, yes, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, they say that if you can get to the place of acceptance and embracing, then, you know, you can release it. And I remember not that long ago going through something, and somebody said to me, well, you know, it's not okay that this happened. And it's like, oh, right. Right. It's not okay.
Exactly.
You know, and it gave me permission to actually go to grieve it a bit, because it's like, yeah, you know what? It's not okay.
Exactly. Yeah. And to understand that grieving process that we all know, the stages of grief, to allow the anger. Because it's just, we all know anger's not a bad thing, although it's been taught that way in the spiritual traditions for millennia now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad thing. It's the thing that gets your butt off the chair. That's all. It says, this isn't okay. Move. In some direction, somehow, you know, do not stay in this position. Bad idea, you know? Yeah, and so that's great that that happened, Lori. I mean, yeah, it's for the honesty to come through of this is really what I'm feeling now. We all know there's truth to that. If we can, if and when we can embrace something, we can release it. But what if this particular thing needs to be worked through and embraced in a different way? And we need to let go of something differently within ourselves, not just, okay, you know, I forgive you, I'm letting go. You know, it would be great if that worked every time. We all have had the experience where with certain things, it just doesn't. And so it's really looking, doing the inner inquiry, what's true here? My personal commitment has always been to the raw, whatever, truth. So when I'm going through something difficult, I will look and say, even when I don't want to, which is, you know, a good portion of the time, what's the truth here? What is the truth here? Not my truth, not your truth, not their truth, not the situation's truth, but really, what is the flow, the highest flow of truth that I can possibly perceive at this time? What is it? Knowing that that in itself is not absolute. but what is it? And the truth in that situation was, yeah, that whatever it was wasn't okay. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to acknowledge. Say, this thing that happened, or this situation, or this energy interaction in particular, we're all being held accountable in a whole new way for how we allow energy to run through us. Mm-hmm. You know, and being able to say, wait a minute, that isn't okay, that wasn't okay, to hold that alignment to truth, and then to be able to say, all right, and I'm going to let my emotional body and my physical body and my physical reality feel however they need to feel about that. This would be responsible parenting of ourselves, actually, where we say, all right, let's let ourselves feel however we feel about that. Do I feel sad? Is there anguish? Do I feel terror or fear? Or am I really pissed off? And allowing ourselves, instead of going, oh no, that's not spiritual, don't feel that way, to say, okay, this is how it feels right now. Because that gives that energy permission to move. You know, we've heard the expression emotion, energy in motion. When we go, when we say to ourselves, don't, you know, that's not nice, that's not good, it doesn't give it any permission to move. That doesn't mean we necessarily act it out all over somebody. We might. That's usually not optimal, but sometimes it is. Sometimes the only way to shift the energy is for a volcano to erupt. Iceland is our particular example of that right now. And it's a good thing. It's a grateful thing that this is happening. It's a pressure release. And are we taking it personally? Well, I think maybe anyone flying in and out of Europe did for a while, but are we taking it personally that a volcano is erupting? No. So why do we take it personally and judge or criticize ourselves or others when their emotional volcano blows, as long as that's just what it does and then it goes?
Yeah.
You know, let it go, let it flow, let it go.
Yeah, like the two-year-old who has a temper tantrum. I mean, I think that's partly, you know, you've sort of nailed it, because there's such a big part of us that, you know, are not authentic, don't give ourselves permission because of the way we were brought up, because of the way, you know, we want people to love and accept us. So we have these shoulds and coulds and woulds and don'ts and masks and ways that we bury all of our authentic selves in a way to protect ourselves, which is really what the ego and our mind does, is to try and protect us. That part that we think is so fragile and so vulnerable and not a strength, and afraid of it being hurt, where really what's hurting is the fact that we are holding on to something and trying to be inauthentic instead of being truly from that essence.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. It's like, if our feelings are hurt, which is an emotional body thing, then acknowledging, okay, hurt feelings. Now let's do the inquiry, what's true here? But secondarily, not first, you know, allowing that authenticity and that openness, that intimacy, that vulnerability that is our authenticity, and that's the thing the ego tries to protect us from. Yes, exactly. As it says, no, you'll be too vulnerable. Well, okay, that's what I would call, in the all of the things I've learned, a belief system. And in English, we abbreviate belief system B.S. Exactly. You know, it's not true. So it's really then going in, our belief systems typically, and this is a gross generalization, but they typically reside in the subconscious mind. We make a lot of them conscious, and we call those rules to live by, silly us. But a lot of them live in the subconscious, so it's also giving our subconscious mind the permission to release belief systems, thought forms, habits of behavior that are simply not going to allow us to balance going forward. And stop making them right or wrong. Any agreement we have, any commitment we've made internally, most of them in the unconscious, by definition, we don't remember. We don't know why that's there. We can often feel something running us on autopilot. It's when we know we have a program running that's not authentic, but, you know, we've forgotten whatever it was, that whatever that really good reason was that we put that program in there. And some of them are inherited, you know, bloodlines or soul genetics or whatever. Then they just kind of come standard on the physical vehicle. You know, but those tend to be really annoying. But
yes, they
know,
do.
We can go look at them and say, oh, okay, here's how that makes me feel. Let's let the emotional body clear it by acknowledging it. And then look at it without making it good or bad, without judging. You know, releasing the need in the third chakra to take our own ego so personally. And say, okay, that's just a thing. It's a belief or a habit of behavior. Let's look at the trigger. Let's look at the symptoms. But let's not, you know, make it a project. Let's just say, okay, that's there. And then go to the still place from which it can be let go. Because any program that's running is a doing. The doing is attached to the ego, the personality structures. And so if we go to stillness, which is where our authenticity lives, we can see it running around like that two-year-old. Nothing against two-year-olds.
No.
You know? They're some of our smartest parts.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like invoking the inner two-year-old or four-year-old. Try it sometime. Listen to what she has to say.
Yeah.
Because you know? She didn't know yet how to be inauthentic.
Yeah. And she doesn't hold on to for years and years and years. She just lets it out. And
yes,
it's gone.
She looks at you and goes, I hate you. And if we're really acknowledging that, we say, message received. In this moment, that's how you feel. Okay, and then it's done.
Yeah.
And then it's done. And then that stillness takes back over. And if we can do that with those inner parts of ourselves, too, it only takes seconds. Then it's amazing, that huge smile on the face of the child or whatever part of us is holding that says, oh, wow, someone actually listened. My voice was heard. And that's all that was needed. So a lot of this balancing really comes from, what are we not paying attention to? What have we chosen to ignore that actually is authentic? You know, what are we ignoring that is authentic because of whatever structures, personality, ego, etc., have been taught that this is what's appropriate? And so just letting those rules be released. And with whatever process, we all have our inner inquiry processes, or just offering them. I find in my personal experience right now that the Divine Feminine, the Divine Mother, the Goddess is standing there, if standing is even the appropriate metaphor, is just there with open arms saying, just give it all to me. It's time. And that very often seems to our minds too facile, too easy. I can't just give it to her. So I do things like invite Kali to brunch for all the really little gnarly tidbits and say, here you go. Take your pick. The key is not how, it's meaning it. It's just meaning it and saying, you know what? You do it. I'm tired.
Yeah.
The I being the ego. The ego's tired of trying to figure things out now. And as uncomfortable as that is being for so many of us, this is divine intervention. This is by divine design. And it's okay to be angry about that. Just understanding that there's an authentic piece or an egoic piece or whatever that says, hey, that really pisses me off that nothing that I know how to do is working. And she'll say, okay. And now could we get on with it?
You make it sound so simple, and they say, you know, letting go and letting God is the most simplest thing, but it's also the most difficult thing. Because we don't trust. We do and we don't.
Yes.
It's like we trust. It's funny because a few months ago, I mean, I went through a stage where I really realized that, you know, I don't have an issue with knowing I am connected.
Uh-huh.
Because there's no doubt anywhere in my being, my soul, anything, that I am connected. My issue is the shadow aspects we see within ourselves, and I don't trust myself.
Okay. So within that, I think that's the crux of it for most of us. So there are a few things there. I mean, yes, the way that I'm describing all this sounds simple, and believe me, for myself, it has taken, I won't say a lot of work, because that's a doing and that didn't, but it has taken a monumental effort of going to that still place and opening the hands, because that's a gesture that helps me, and saying, you do it. Clearly, I don't know how. And I'm not going to pretend that I like that, that I like the way that feels.
Because we like to be in control.
Well, yes, because our egos and our minds are trained to be in control. See, this is the thing. Our minds have been trained since infancy to be in control, to hold control, whether it's self-control, not getting out of control, handling things, being responsible. It's all about control. Not hurting someone else, that's all about control. I'm not advocating, you know, going out and acting out all over somebody, of course. We know what I mean. It's that, well, how do I limit my authentic expression? That is control. So it's the fear in ego that says, if I let go of that, and fill in the blank with your popular, you know, apocalyptic fear, it's like, you know, all hell will break loose, it'll be annihilation, it will be this. The thing that's happening right now in our world, especially for what we would call spiritual people, light workers, we are walking our worst fears. And a lot of people are pissed off. They're saying, this, all this work for this? And if we really go in, I mean, we all have degrees of it. Some of us have more than others. Some of us don't, or it comes in a different form. But it's time to acknowledge that and say, well, all of this work, all of this training, all of this processing, all of this releasing, all of this clarifying, all of this enlightening, for this? And the Divine Mother says, and you thought you were in control? And see, there it is. There's the spiritual ego. You know, we get rid of our personal ego's need to be controlled, or we keep working on it, really, it's my opinion. And then there's the spiritual ego that pretends to be the higher self that says, here's how we really want it to go. Here's the agenda we have. We want it to be this way. This is what comfortable feels like for us. And we're not saying that being uncomfortable is a have to. It's not. But for right now, as the Earth rebirths herself, there is some of this going on. There is discomfort. There is turbulence. And there's a voice that's wanting to move through me saying, get with the program, you know? It's like, and so it's not saying, not judging or criticizing any of those voices within us that would say, well, you know, this is pointless, this is meaningless, this is all of this for nothing, or all of this for this. It's time to acknowledge that voice within us, and like the 2-year-old or 4-year-old, because spiritually that's what that voice is saying to that voice, okay, we hear you, I hear you, okay. And it appears that there's something else going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And you never were in control. And if you need to throw a tantrum about that, just go for it. And get through it. It's okay to have those feelings. And every time we are faced with, well, what I'm trying to do, I am inspired, and I do, you know, follow those steps, and then it flatlines, nothing happens, and, you know, the mind will then immediately take over, because that's how we've trained our minds. It's what we've asked them to do. The mind will start with, well, maybe you should just go get a day job. Maybe you should do this. Maybe you should do that. Maybe you should hear the shoulds.
Mm-hmm.
Our mind was trained on shoulds. It's not bad. So one of the things we can do to help with balance, especially from the heart, the mind needs to be moved into the place now And it will start by kicking and screaming. That's normal. It's not bad if when that happens. We just say to the mind, it's your job to be in support of the heart now. We are taking your job description of figuring everything out away from you. It's being taken away from you, and it will thrash. And then we say, yes, that's okay. It's all right. It's all right. Okay. And that doesn't usually just take seconds. It takes a while. You know, it takes practicing that of saying to the mind, okay, we're not getting rid of you. We don't want to annihilate the mind. We need them. We live in a physical world. You know, we have to have certain information all the time. But letting the mind be in service to the heart so that when we reach these places where we take two or three steps in a certain direction or we follow a current a certain way and then it just everything drops out, our minds have been trained to go, oh my gosh, what went wrong? You know, alarm, alarm, let's fix it. And what we need to do in that moment, truthfully, what will work is go to the stillness and say, where did it go? Where did the energy go? Because everything is so much in shift. The morphogenic field is doing just that right now. It's morphing daily, sometimes hourly. Yeah. You know, our friends, the planetary bodies, are doing this incredible dance for the benefit of the universe itself, for everything. And so right now, we take a couple steps in this direction, and we were so sure, and they probably were the right steps. And that's what I hear from the divine is those were the right steps. When that direction stops working, remember that you're in a vast, turbulent ocean and go to the stillness and say, okay, where did it go? Did it go left, right, up, down, backwards? Where? And take those steps in the next direction. So I think we talked a little bit about this last time, but it's a daily practice of, okay, what are the actions today? And our minds will think ahead because we've taught them to do that. Well, this is due at the end of the month, or there's this deadline, or there's this and that. And we say to the minds, yes, thank you. That's useful, practical information. And it's not going to help me make a decision. Because it just won't. You know, it's not that it's bad information. It's that we need it, you know. But so what I've learned to do, what happens to be working for me, and it's practice. It took 2 years. I'm hoping it doesn't take that for anyone else. But it's to say, okay, Spirit, there are these deadlines. There is this. There is that. And what are my actions today? And it's not like we get the big Monty Python white hand out of the sky that says, here they are, you know. I'm sure the burning bush is there for some people. It doesn't usually show up for me, saying, here are the tablets. Here's how to live today. It's following the feelings then, following the intuition. It's not like you get a paragraph. Well, some days I do, but that's rare, very rare, where you just get a feeling where your body will move to do a certain thing. And sometimes, you know, for the last year, I've been what people would call recovering from a physical challenge. And there are times when the body's tired or the brain simply is not in an integrated place to do something. Only I'll feel this move to do it. And I've learned to follow that move. And sometimes as soon as that wave comes, I follow that move and everything falls into balance. It's like, oh, if I had listened to those other cues, I wouldn't be in alignment. Then again, it's not to ignore them. So the balance becomes what they used to call that razor's edge, except we get nice cushy slippers this time. You don't have to worry about the bloody feet. And we walk and say, okay, this step for right now, and for right now, and for right now. And then what I have truly found for the last 2 years is the things that fall off the list actually didn't need to be there. Only my agendas, my control programs, thought they did. And some of them are quite practical. But as we start to move this way a little bit at a time, this is baby stepping at a cosmic level. There's a foundational level of beginner's mind where literally all of our minds are being re-educated. And not that they don't hold great knowledge and wisdom. We thank our minds for that, all levels of mind. Thank you for being that sponge that absorbed all that. And now what's happening is the mind, like that sponge, is being squeezed to empty out anything that won't work for now, for this new time we're coming into. So it is going to that child place. Part of stillness is the child place, the innocence, the authenticity of, okay, what next? And not pretending that we really have any idea what it's going to be.
Yeah, and that's the hard one. I mean, that really is, you know, as much as we kind of get it on one level. I mean, it is the hard one to kind of go, okay, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing today, tomorrow, mm-hmm. next week. But it, you know, to just trust that that will flow and that that will somehow get us somehow. To where we're supposed to go.
Exactly, somehow, and we don't know. You know, in the Abraham tradition, it's they say, you know, how goes in sources column. I think for all traditions, it's really the how of it has to be surrendered back. And that is the hard part. That's the hard part for our minds and our personalities. Well, what do I do when I can't feed my children mm-hmm. today? And what I've learned with that, I've learned that lesson as well over the past 3 years. It's to go inward and say, all right, those appear to be the facts. What's the truth? And choosing, it's making a conscious choice and saying, in this moment, it is so hard to trust. In this moment, I know that some very large percent of myself is not trusting. And yet, I'm going to choose right now in this moment to trust. I choose to trust. I am willing to trust. I am not going to say no, even though I have no idea what I'm saying yes to. And saying, for me, it's saying to the Divine Mother, this is what I have to offer you. And just going to that place doesn't always immediately solve everything. You know, it's not a silver bullet. It begins to shift things, because my commitment in that moment is, I will listen, I will pay attention, because I am so clear that what I'm doing isn't working. And it is challenging. You know, it's not that letting go piece isn't what we might call easy with minds as well-trained and as entrenched as our minds are, no matter what we would choose to believe.
Yeah, and that's a huge piece. I think we don't realize quite how much our mind is in the driver's seat.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. In my years in mystery school, I remember talking with someone in my Sangha, a fellow student, and she was a sister student, and she was saying, I'm having this feeling right now like I'm in a vehicle and it's moving at light speed, and I'm sitting in the driver's seat and there's no steering wheel. And there were two or three of us sitting there, and I remember thinking, exactly, I could not have put it better myself. And it's not like on a roller coaster or, you know, a fun park ride where you're strapped in and there's a roll bar. There's nothing like that. You know, you're just sort of there in the seat by your willingness to be there in the seat. And that's all. And that really is a little bit the way it is. Some of these metaphors, these images have been useful to me in going through these times, just going, okay, I've had to ask. Surrender was my tough nut. You know, maybe it sounds easy right now, but that was my hard thing. And the worst part was I didn't know it was my hard thing. For years, my spiritual ego was saying, yes, I've surrendered, I've given up everything, and I had, or so it seemed. You know, there isn't anything else to give up. I've surrendered my whole life. And, you know, my spiritual ego would kind of wax poetic about that. And yet, finally, it was just very simple moment And it's not to say that there wasn't a lot of surrender that happened. I mean, for all of us who've gone through that, big things did get let go of over and over. Yeah. But there was just this moment of, you know what, I'm exhausted from this. I am tired. Clearly this isn't working. Clearly the I that was the ego or is the ego doesn't know. And I'm just not going to let it run things anymore, no matter how hard it tries. And the moment I notice it, which, you know, for most of us is hourly, you know, the moment I notice it, I'm going to say, shh, thank you. Thank you for all the care you have taken of me in this life. And I'm going to listen to something else, because this just isn't working. And then saying to the divine, you do it. You are the doer. You are the ultimate doer. You do it. And some days I've said that and stood there with my arms folded, tapping my foot. But the more that I've done that, the more it isn't like that, the more it's being grateful, which is so hard to do when we don't trust. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's not pretend that gratitude is easy, you know? Mm-hmm. But in those moments, just saying, even through gritted teeth, you know, thank you that it's all taken care of. And then what happens is we follow these motions. Sometimes it's two steps one way or three steps another or backwards, or it's a leap. And we're all being asked to make a quantum leap right now, which is the leap out of the mind. The mind can't do this shift. It's not trained to. It's not its fault. You know, I think the greatest gift we can all give ourselves right now, the greatest balance, is to stop beating up our minds. We've been taught to do that. And it's not useful. So just say, thank you. Thank you for the way that all the things you've done for me. Thank you for all the information you've absorbed. And now I need you to learn one more thing. And that's to let the heart lead. And then use all that stuff to follow and support the heart. And the initial response is usually not very polite. And then the second usual response is usually, huh? Kind of the stunned place of, but I don't know how to do that. And we're saying, yes, did you not get the part about this is a new learning? We know you don't know how. We're asking you, can you use those incredible faculties and learn one more thing, one really big thing, while we're still here in this mind-body continuum? And then the mind begins to shift. I mean, we've all done lots and lots of work. So it's just beginning by thanking the mind. Thank you for all the work and thanking you for everything that you know. And now can you just do this one more thing, which is put all that in a different form and make it obedient to the heart. And just do that as a practice over and over. You know, being that in that centered space, letting anything that's turbulent go into that cocoon. And then asking the mind for its help. It actually likes that. If you haven't noticed, it likes to do. We've trained it that way.
Yeah. Well, that's probably a pretty powerful way to work through your life. Because I think, you know, it's funny, I use I think a lot when I'm pretty sure that's not exactly what I mean, but we really do have this space that we can access, that we just need to remember to breathe into.
Yes.
And as much as it sounds like it's not an easy thing to do, it really is. And all of the emotions that come up, and it's funny because, you know, as we do these, especially if you're going through challenging times, all of these emotions start coming up. And they're the things that we've kind of pushed down and tried to not look at because we don't really know how to let them be.
Yes.
And so all of these things start to bubble up as we go through this space, and we start to say, but we can trust, and we can, you know, the mind can have its space where it can help. But when we start looking at all of these things, like all of the things that you've been saying, a lot of emotions have been coming up that have been, oh, really? That's where that's from, is it? Mm-hmm. You know, like it's those, oh, really? You want to come up now? Well, isn't that interesting?
And isn't that just really convenient?
Yes. Oh, I'm not giving you much attention, am I?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And letting them come. I mean, truthfully, this quantum leap we're all being part of, whether we're choosing it or not. And if we're incarnated here, let's face it, we chose it.
Yeah.
We may not have thought it would feel like this. I'm pretty betting that we didn't, but hey, you know.
I'm pretty sure actually we did. We just thought we'd be able to get through it quicker this time.
Yes, or do it differently or something. Yay us and our control programs, right?
Yes. It can't be as difficult as last life, right?
Right.
Oh, that was only a few years ago. Yes, still, it can't be.
Exactly. It's not going to be like the last, oh, man. Yeah. You know. and you know, the parts of us that are connected with the all and the elsewhere, which these parts are too, are all laughing hysterically at this mm-hmm. point, going, you know, you forgot, right? You know? Yeah. So it's letting those things come up, giving them their voice, giving them their space to vent, you know, which doesn't always mean acting out, rarely, actually.
Yeah.
But, you know, acceptance of the venting, let it come through. That actually facilitates the release, and it is easy to be in that still place. But it does require that letting go. I mean, one of my favorite gestures when the body's having an issue is just almost from the shoulder, from the connection to the heart, just letting the arm and the hand open and knowing that that is a dual process, but not dual as in duality, a unified double process, which is releasing and receiving at the same moment.
Hmm.
So just kind of breathing in to the center of the chest and opening the hands from the shoulder, and it's releasing and receiving. Open is open. And letting our control programs that say, ooh, I want to curl up tight in this moment, in whatever way, whether, you know, fists in or fists out, you know, the adrenals tend to dictate that. It's just letting that go and saying, okay, that's what we call a conditioned response. It's not real. It's not true. Sometimes it is, and we know when those are. But what's true? What's true is moving into stillness feels, because we have been trained this way, like a place that is too vulnerable. And so when I feel that, what I've learned to do, the Divine Mother has taught me to do, is to reach for her. God, however we perceive that, source, the force, all that is, it doesn't matter what we call it, you know. So reaching for that stillness, and saying, okay, I don't know what to do with this. Take it. And again, that sounds simple. You know, I have private clients who will sometimes say, well, I've been doing that for the last 15 days, and it's not going away. But you can feel in that response the energy that's in resistance to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's coming to that stillness and saying, you're expending an awful lot of energy trying. How about just doing it? And that sounds maybe even ruthless, but it's the truth. It's like, how am I holding on? And you know, we ask ourselves, how am I not letting go? I would reframe that so that we're a little more gentle with ourselves from the heart and say, how am I holding on? And why? You know, there's a saying in the seafaring communities that a drowning man will grab a great white to save himself. And this is kind of what we're doing emotionally when we get ourselves in that predicament. And so a question is, what am I holding on to and why? And not judging it. Really not judging it. You know, staying in self-judgment, self-condemnation, self-criticism is not going to make the leap. it's going to say, what leap?
Yeah.
We're happy here, all well entrenched. You know? It's like, well, okay.
Yes. And then, you know, I guess the definition of vulnerability is the next thing that a lot of people have an issue with, because we've defined judgment, we've defined vulnerability, we have our preconceived ideas, beliefs, understandings from not only ourselves, but have been, you know, agreed upon by, you know, many, many others. So it's an interesting shift that we have to make to understand vulnerability. To me, vulnerability is a strength.
Yes.
To others, and I, you know, it's funny because I had a very spiritual person, you know, try and say, well, when you say vulnerability, does that really ring to you that it's a strength? And he almost had me convinced. But it was like, well, no, because it is a strength. I mean, it truly, it's just because we're vulnerable, just because we're open. And that's the thing. Like, it depends what vulnerability means to you. But to me, it means being open.
Yes.
Completely.
Yes. Open and intimate and free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's that's, again, the mind, all of the databases that the mind holds on to, the belief systems, the thought patterns that say, this is what vulnerable means, this is what letting go means, this is what holding on means. And over the lifetimes, those definitions start to play telephone, where
yeah.
in our unconscious, they don't look anything like they did when we first decided it was a good definition, either. So it's just letting all of that from the unconscious go, you know, just make it conscious or just let it go to say, yes, actually, I would agree with you. Vulnerability is a strength, because Source's definition, Spirit's definition, would be that it's authenticity. And I had a friend, a female mystic here, where I am at the moment in Santa Fe, say, I've never understood why we try and box and protect preciousness. Because if you think about the new shoots in the spring, they come through rock, they come through the frost, they come through these circumstances where we look and they're these tender little shoots, these buds. And why do we persist in believing that preciousness, that tenderness, what we would call vulnerability, requires being all boxed in and protected? You know, look at nature. It's not so.
That's pretty profound.
Yeah, I thought so. It's my friend Pamela.
Yeah. And I think if we allowed ourselves to experience that preciousness, it would have the tenacity of those new sprigs. I mean, it's us that feel we need to protect it, because our ego, I mean, it looks for all the places and all the spaces that need to be protected, because it doesn't want us to feel pain, even though by its definitions and how it's held on to things, it creates that pain. But that's not its intention. Its intention was always to protect us from having to re-experience it again.
Yes.
So it's not like, I mean, everybody's kind of puts down our ego, and really our ego has always been here to protect us. It's now working with it in a way that, as you have brought up, Mary, to support the heart.
Yes.
So giving it a new definition.
A new purpose, a new job description. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, every agreement we've made in the unconscious was made for a good reason. Was made to keep us safe or protected or functional. You know, mm-hmm. Some of them are just really outdated software.
Yeah. Well, and some of them are from the collective unconscious. Certainly
yeah.
with women coming into their power, and even though this is our time, I mean, there is this huge resistance that we have to almost first understand why it's there, because so many of us seem to have an issue with coming into our power and it being okay. And it's really because as a species, we've been annihilated so many times by coming into our power that it's part of the collective unconscious to say, okay, you know, be careful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's more than be careful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Coming into power equals devastation.
Death.
And that's, yes, in the collective unconscious, especially for women. You know, it's just in the, yes, and so it's not just our, what we call our personal unconscious, it's really unplugging or detaching from the collective unconscious as well, without judging it.
Right. That's the most important part. It's this whole judgment thing that I think the tree of knowledge that we're able to decide what is right and wrong on our own. And so from that day, we've made those decisions, and those are the judgments that we carry with us.
Well, and we've codified and stratified and given weight to all those right and wrong things. And the truth is, in the flow of creativity, right and wrong are subjective to the moment in the situation.
Yeah. Always. Otherwise, you know, other cultures wouldn't have a completely different. I mean, it's so amazing when you consider. You know, just how much we get caught up in what's right and wrong when it is so completely subjective. And so it has no bearing at all as to good or bad. It just is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what if, you know, what we're calling power, we have, again, it's the definition. What's
yes.
the definition of it?
Yes.
You know, we have all these cultural cliches. So do all the other cultures, by the way,
mm-hmm.
in the collective unconscious. I mean, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know that absolute power corrupts absolutely. Really? Well, gee, I want to teach my kids that. You know, what if, because it's just, if the divine is energy, is essence, is power, you know, then how can these things be really true? They may have been acted out over and over because they're in the collective unconscious as patterns, as programs, as defaults, as, well, this is the way it is. But what if that's not the truth? I personally do not feel that it is. It's just essence is essence, power is power. You know, when you study the mysteries, it's just how do you use the divine energy that runs through you? Do you use it for life-giving, creative things, moments, or are you creating difficulties? And if so, are they difficulties for you, for someone else? Are they challenges? You know, you could get way analytical, but you don't have to. It's just, is what's flowing through in alignment truly with Source and with the divine? And you can feel that. And our minds, by nature of the collective unconscious, the personal, the subconscious, the conditioning, all these layers, they don't know. Our hearts always know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. What a great show. So is there anything else you'd like to leave us in as to what it takes to hold balance from our heart?
Wow. Well, I think what it takes is actually quite unique and individual. The primary core of it, at least in my experience, is being able to go to that still place and to not just listen to, our heart speaks to us all the time, but to make the commitment to listen in a way where we are paying more attention to that voice, to the stillness, than we are to everything else, because all of that is changing. It's not because it's bad, but just because it's all changing. So really just going to that place and, as one of my clients puts it, sort of finding your inner weeble, you know, that won't ever fall down. Sometimes we do. But even in that moment, going, oh, loss of balance. Okay. What was that about? And letting the authenticity answer the question.
Hmm. Yes, and then trusting.
Yeah.
So, Mary, tell people how they can get a hold of you. And if you have anything coming up that you want to tell people.
Okay, well, people can get a hold of me through my website. That's the primary way. It's the usual W's, Delphic, like Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I-C, Wave, W-A-V-E, .com, one word, Delphic Wave. And sending email through the site is the easiest way. This month, there's not a lot in the way of doings. Next month begins a new cycle of the Embodying Fluidity modules, which really are deeper teachings. These were downloads from the Divine Feminine that came through that are how to hold the heart space that we talked about in our last show, how to let yourself be held in that, how to move through letting go of certain types of things. That goes through Module 2 and Module 3. And one of the reasons that my schedule is what the calendar would call light this month is because I'm doing the Trinity series, or I should say the Trinity series is moving through me. And I tend to need a lighter schedule as that happens. That's something that follows the Embodying Fluidity modules. It's a series of initiations direct from the Divine Mother that basically change life as you know it. It's the best way I can describe it. Those are beginning. The very first cycle, Module 1, begins again. The beginning of June, we'll be doing a solstice telephone gathering and the usual new moon telegathering. They're all on the website. So that's probably the best way.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. And so we will see you next month.
Mm-hmm.
And looking forward to that. So great show.
Thank you so much. This was really fun.
Mm-hmm.